This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Intelligent Medicine program where we answer your most important questions about health, nutrition, mainstream medicine. We put all those together for you each week, and we call it Intelligent Medicine. It's one of the best kept secrets on radio, and we invite you to call and participate. 877-726-8255 is our number. That's 877-726-TALK for short. Write down that number. Call us anytime this hour or next, because we're here. We're in the doctor's office, and you can come directly in and pose your question. Among the stories we're going to tackle today, does eating mushrooms reduce the risk of cognitive decline? And what about the health benefits of green tea? Are they for real? 877-726-8255. And of course, the elephant in the room, the big story of the week, this just in, it turns out that once again, eggs are bad for you. Well, first they were good for you, the incredible edible egg. Remember that campaign by the Egg Producers of America? They wanted to tell you that the egg was the complete nutritional package. Then it turned out that eggs were bad for you because they contain cholesterol. And then eggs were exonerated because cholesterol from eggs really didn't seem to matter too much when it came to cardiovascular risk. And now a big study that suggests that eggs may be the cholesterol enemy again. We're going to do a deep dive on that study in just a few moments. 877-726-8255. Let's get started with a phone call from John in Connecticut. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi, how are you? Good, good. Thank you.
I'm good. Just quickly, I want to tell you something about my, it was about me for chocolate, but I want to mention something about my cat. I give her probiotics in the food.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get mad at fur anymore. Maybe
Whoa.
It's just the quality of her fur or coat, or yeah. just because she has more energy to take care of herself.
Yeah, you know, it may make a difference because the microbiome, you know, what's inside you, tends to have an impact on human skin, for example. And I guess animal fur reflects the quality of their skin. So maybe, just maybe, the probiotics are doing some good, you know. Hey, it works. And by the way, that's not a placebo effect, because your cat isn't like saying, oh, I'm taking probiotics, I think my fur is going to get better. You know? So
absolutely. She used to get matted every year underneath on her belly, and she wasn't matted this year.
Awesomely good.
For the first time.
So what's going on with the chocolate story, chocolate. The cocoa story?
Well, I'm a type 2 diabetic. I'm 59 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, now this says right here on the back, it's 90% cocoa.
Yeah,
the bar I'm getting, and it says process, but they have to process it anyway. I know that. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to avoid a heart attack and be better because I'm diabetic and mm-hmm. whatever you get, you know, it's supposed to help in every way.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it worth it?
So yeah, here's the deal on the cocoa connection to type 2 diabetes. Obviously, you know, you eat a lot of chocolate, you eat a lot of candy, you're going to get type 2 diabetes. I mean, it's most chocolates contain relatively little cocoa, and it's highly processed. And if you think that, you know, eating a Mars bar or a bunch of Hershey Kisses every day is going to protect you from diabetes, well, think again, right? Because it's full of sugar, B, it's full of fat, and this is going to add your caloric burden, and it's not going to help that much. But there is an intriguing study out of BYU, Brigham Young, a compound found in cocoa could help treat or control type 2 diabetes. That may have been something that has spurred your interest in cocoa for prevention of type 2 diabetes. And this was done in mice, so they haven't really yet confirmed it in humans. They fed mice a high-calorie diet, and they found that adding a compound from cocoa, not chocolate or 90% chocolate bars, but a compound derived from cocoa, it's called epicatechin monomers. So these, a series of compounds that, epicatechins are also present in green tea, for example, and epigallocatechin gallate, EGCG, is a beneficial compound from green tea. So, there's also epicatechins in chocolate, cocoa, and these compounds decrease the obesity levels of these mice and also help to improve blood sugar control. So, I'm going to talk a little later in this program about some amazing studies in mice that doesn't necessarily carry over to humans. I mean, if you feed mice green tea and carrot extract, there's a remarkable, dramatic prevention of Alzheimer's. I like symptoms. The animal model for Alzheimer's in mice, it works great in mice. The question is, does it translate to humans? So there's some logical leaps here. These epicatechin monomers seem to work on the mitochondria and make the beta cells in the pancreas work better, which helps with insulin production when insulin is failing and when there's not enough insulin, blood sugars soar. So the author of the study himself says, while cocoa is commonly found in chocolate, eating a higher quantity of chocolate is clearly not the answer to achieving better blood glucose control. So this research team is looking at ways of extracting the active compound from the cocoa, and that way maybe this derivative of cocoa, not actually eating chocolate bars, may help with type 2 diabetes. Now, I'm going to qualify that by saying when you eat a 90% chocolate bar, and that's a really an acquired taste because a lot of people find that unpalatable. It's a very bitter. For some people, they say it tastes like eating dirt, and you got to get used to it. Sort of like, getting used to drinking hops-rich beer. It's bitter. You are maybe getting some cardiovascular benefits. There are studies that suggest that high-test cocoa has circulatory benefits. Can protect the endothelium, which is really your goal. Your goal is, you got type 2 diabetes, but the big thing that kills people with type 2 diabetes, circulatory problems, strokes, heart attacks, high blood pressure. If you take any inflammatory compounds, things like spices, curcumin, perhaps some compounds like chlorogenic acid from coffee, resveratrol from wine, and cocoa flavanols, maybe you're going to get some protective effect on your arteries. So just don't go hog wild on the chocolate, especially chocolate that's anything below 90%. My cutoff is 88% because otherwise it's just too delicious, delectable, and you just get a lot of extraneous calories. You're not getting the benefits of the cocoa flavanols. So thanks for that question. Appreciate you calling. 877-726-8255 is the number. And let's tackle this egg story. I'm just going to begin to share this story with you. One of the headlines, are eggs the cholesterol enemy again? And this has got to be frustrating because even the researchers who worked on the study aren't happy about it because what they found, one of the study authors says, it's sad news to everyone, says Narina Allen, PhD, a cardiovascular epidemiologist at the Northwestern University School of Medicine in Chicago. So what they did is they looked at people over 17 years, and they did a dietary recall questionnaire. And that's part of the problem, is when you do studies like this, you don't sit with each person individually or film them and then laboriously catalog what they ate. You just ask them, what do you think you ate this week? They keep a log. And is this not very accurate? Because there's a lot of wishful thinking in these diet records. The way it's been interpreted, I've seen different spins on this study. That one interpretation is that those who ate two eggs per day, a mere two eggs per day, had a 27% risk, higher risk of coronary artery disease, and a 34% higher risk of death. And then I've seen another report that says that if you eat three to four eggs per week, your coronary artery disease risk is 4% higher, and your risk of dying is 6% higher. That's not very much, even if it's for real, because that's what's called relative risk, not absolute risk. If you look at the risk of dying for people in the study over 17 years, maybe, you know, 1% of them died. 1.06% of them died. That's 6% greater with the eggs, 3 to 4 eggs per week. That's not a very, it's not like triple the risk of dying or 10 times the risk of dying. It's a very, very small signal. And who knows what the dietary accoutrements of some of these people were. And I've looked at some of the experts who've weighed in on this study. It's only been out a couple of days. And they say that the study may be confounded by the fact that people who eat a lot of eggs may just not eat as good a diet. I mean, in general, I mean, there's some people, like myself, I eat often 2 eggs per day, most days per week. By the way, I have 0 coronary artery calcification. But I also eat a really excellent diet. I'm very, very low in sugar, high in fiber, plenty of animal protein. I also take gobs and gobs of supplements, omega-3 fatty acids, have plenty of fish. It's hard to say whether eating a lot of eggs is a marker for maybe not such a great diet and lifestyle, or whether it really is about the eggs. So in a moment when we return, we'll continue taking your questions, 877-726-8255, and we'll weigh in on some of the problems associated with big studies like this recent study that suggests that eggs are, once again, the enemy. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Got indigestion, gas, bloating? Your symptoms could be caused by an imbalance of the good versus bad bacteria in your intestinal tract. Stress, fast food, x-rays, antibiotics, they are all a part of modern life. They can decrease your good intestinal bacteria, leading to a rise of bad bacteria and then digestive distress. Make 2019 the year you tackle your digestive concerns head on. Rebuild your good intestinal bacteria with Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, a worldwide leader in probiotic health for over 30 years. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's will help improve your digestive well-being. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics will help you feel better. Look for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine natural health retailers nationwide. Also available online. Get your digestion under control today.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Are eggs really bad for you now after the results of a new study are in suggesting a slightly higher risk of cardiovascular disease among individuals who consumed, take your pick, more than 2 eggs a day, or in some cases the interpretation is more than 3 or 4 eggs per day? Well, consider the case of the Eggman. That's what they call a guy who was studied in 1991. I remember this case because I was on the radio then already in 1991 for several years. And I reported to our listening audience the case of a guy called the Eggman, who was an 88-year-old man who had a thing. His thing was he had to eat 25
eggs per day. He received a delivery of 25 soft-boiled eggs per day, and he recognized that he had a psychological problem. There's probably some form of obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD. He said, quote, "Eating these eggs ruins my life, but I can't help it." And so a gastroenterologist heard about the man, and he saw an opportunity to study how people react to cholesterol. Now, by all odds, this guy should have been a goner, but he was 88 years old. So it was interesting. They wanted to study what was protecting this guy from dying from eating not 2, 3, 4 eggs per day, but 25 eggs per day for many years. And what they discovered was quite interesting. They actually compared this guy to 11 volunteers who had their cholesterol tested and had consumed a moderate amount of eggs, 5 eggs per day. And first of all, what they found was quite interesting when they looked at this guy's cholesterol. His cholesterol was 200. His LDL was 142. And when they compared this guy to the volunteers, he ate far more eggs than they did. They were given, for this experiment, 5 eggs per day, which for a lot of people, that's a lot of eggs. But 25 eggs per day was what Eggman ate. The volunteers absorbed 55% of the cholesterol on their egg diets. But the 88-year-old absorbed only 18% of his cholesterol, and plus his liver downregulated its cholesterol production. So what it turns out is that your liver is making a heck of a lot more cholesterol than the eggs are delivering. An egg delivers, you know, maybe 260 milligrams of cholesterol per day, and you only absorb about half of it. Your liver makes 1,000 to 1,800 milligrams of cholesterol. You synthesize cholesterol. You're making it. And if you have a no-cholesterol diet, you're going to have a relatively moderate cholesterol. It doesn't go down to zero when you consume zero cholesterol. So this whole notion of outside cholesterol as being the cause of high cholesterol, and then there's this tenuous connection between cholesterol and cardiovascular disease. I recently reviewed the case of a woman who has a cholesterol of 279, an HDL of 73. Was she someone who should be on statin drugs? Well, the additional factor that you should consider, if you're thinking maybe she needs to lower her cholesterol, is that she's 100 years old. Cholesterol 279, HDL 73. I wonder if she'd attained the age of 100 if she'd been on a statin drug for the last 30 years. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Welcome to your phone calls this hour next. We'll be right back.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. That's 877-726-TALK. Write that number down. You can call us this hour or next. Any question you like related to our theme, which is intelligent medicine, the best of high tech and the best of natural, putting those together for you each weekend here on Intelligent Medicine and throughout the week with our podcasts and our blogs and newsletter. Check it out at drhoffman.com. So the reaction to this egg story has been uniformly skeptical. People are just scorning it, trolling it with all kinds of comments about how they just don't buy into it. So the public really has hit an all-time low in terms of its trust in medical and health reporting. And why is that? What's going on? There's obviously a problem because coffee is bad for you, then it's good for you. Eggs are good for you, then bad for you, then good for you, then bad for you again. And so I hearken back to an article that I wrote a couple of months ago entitled Why Most Health News is Fake. And I cite some headlines like these. Study warns low-carb diets unsafe may lead to early death. A low-carb diet could cut 4 years off your life, so just eat the damn pasta. That, according to Esquire magazine, hardly the arbiter of scientific truth, maybe a place where you can look at some pricey men's clothes and watches. But nobody can really figure out what to eat anymore. And so there's this guy, some of you may be familiar with him. He's Dr. John Ioannidis. And he wrote a fascinating article 13 years ago in a paper audaciously titled, get this, Why Most Published Research Findings Are False. Okay, take that in. Why Most Published Research Findings Are False. And he's a real skeptic and gadfly in the scientific community, but he lays it out there that because of bias, because of manipulation of data, because of false assumptions, and just misguided thinking, many scientific studies are just plain wrong. The vast majority of them, in fact, he claims. He recently turned his attention to nutritional epidemiologic research, which basically means the kinds of studies like this egg study, where you look at a large group of people, follow them for a long time, and try and see if there's a trend. And he says that we need to radically reform the scientific method as applied to the fundamental question of what should we eat. Because, you know, if we cast a microscope on foods, we can demonstrate that virtually anything can kill you. Really, I mean, there actually is a scientific article entitled Anything Can Kill You. And they go through all kinds of examples. French fries have acrylamides. Dairy can contribute to prostate cancer. Strawberries have pesticides. Steak has polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and saturated fat and cholesterol. Beans contain lectins. Fish delivers whopping doses of mercury and PCBs. Coconut oil has saturated fats. You get the idea. And also Ioannidis points out that if you were to believe recent studies, and he cites some, eating 12 hazelnuts per day would prolong life by 12 years. In other words, a year per hazelnut. Drinking 3 cups of coffee daily would achieve a similar gain of 12 extra years. It would be that easy. And eating a single mandarin orange daily would add 5 years of life. Conversely, consuming 1 egg per day would reduce life expectancy by 6 years. Don't want that. And eating 2 slices of bacon daily would shorten life by a decade. That's worse than smoking. you know, bacon is the new smoking, according to a study. There's a published study that demonstrates that. Now, could these results be possibly true, he asks. And he's a veteran scientist, and he knows the statistics, and he argues that data manipulation can lead to unwarranted conclusion. And he calls out the researchers for bias and using selective reporting. It's sometimes referred to as p-hacking. And if you're a scientist or a researcher, you know that a p-value means it's a value that sort of attests to the level of certainty of a result. And so you want a p-value that's very, very low, that so that it means that the results you get couldn't have been just by coincidence. And if you selectively manipulate your sample and torture your data, you can p-hack your way to a scientific conclusion that ultimately could be ridiculous. You know, there are over 250,000 individual foods, and food preparation methods vary widely. You know, are your eggs fried? Are they hard-boiled? Are they soft-boiled? You make omelets. Food preparation's methods vary widely, and the self-same food may be pristine or laden with toxins, depending on the circumstances of how they're harvested and processed, says Ioannidis. And also, they're eaten together with other foods in endless permutations. So you don't just eat eggs. You eat eggs in combination with, you know, either junky processed meat or high-fiber vegetables. So he says, quote, disentangling the potential influence on health outcomes of a single dietary component from these other variables is challenging, if not impossible. And he argues for more research transparency and a reining in of sweeping claims. He says, readers and guideline developers, in other words, the people who set our standards, who tell us what to eat, should ignore hasty statements of causal inference and advocacy to public policy made by past nutritional epidemiology articles. Such statements should be avoided in the future. And but that's precisely the trap that these journalists are falling into. They say, okay, you know, now we advise caution because now the study sheds some doubt on whether eggs are good for you. So, yeah, okay, here we go again. And he says, you know, and this is actually what I think, is that health writers and scientific journalists need to be responsible for some of these excesses because they actually don't know how to critically evaluate studies. They haven't been trained in statistics. They're not scientists. They're journalists. They're also looking for clicks. Clicks make money for websites and newspapers. The more readers, the more adherence there are to various sites, the more you can monetize those sites. It's all about economics these days. And these journalists are under the gun to generate clicks at the expense of nuanced facts. They're time pressured. So sometimes they just easily accept like a press release and publish it without spending time looking at the article as I have. So a word of caution is, bottom line, don't always trust the headlines. Be wary of fake health news, especially big studies like this, which ultimately often, you know, next thing you know, there'll be another study that exonerates eggs, you know, completely at variance with this previous conclusion. All right, 877-726-8255. Let's switch gears and talk about something that help your achy, stiff joints. Would you like to put some of the cushion back in your joints and cartilage? Well, if you'd like to clinically reduce everyday joint aches and pains, I've got some good news for you because our friends at Purity Products want you to try their legendary Ultimate HA joint formula. And they've created a special offer for our Intelligent Medicine listeners. For just $9, they'll send you a bottle of Ultimate HA 7 joint formula. Ultimate HA features the joint boosting effects of hyaluronic acid. That's what the HA stands for. It works like a shock absorber, helping to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin. And there's an added benefit. People say they look better, too. So a few capsules per day, and you deliver powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissues. Here's the number, 800-983-1154. You get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9, and you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 along with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. Call now. 1-800-983-1154 for Ultimate HA7 Joint Formula. All right. This item, eating mushrooms may reduce the risk of cognitive decline. Now, you know, I just told you be wary of studies. I'm still going to talk about studies because this looks like a good one. Research has found, because it's a human study, and the effect is not just 6% or 8%. There's a 50% reduced odds of having mild cognitive impairment in seniors who consume more than 2 portions of mushrooms weekly. That's a pretty moderate consumption. Seniors who ate more than 300 grams of cooked mushrooms a week, 300 grams, that's a fairly large portion of mushrooms. So, you know, 150 grams twice a week, that's attainable, but it's more than the average person consumes by far. These seniors had a 50% reduced odds of having mild cognitive impairment. It's a 6-year study. It's done in Singapore. Individuals were around 60. And what they found was that 6 commonly consumed mushrooms in Singapore were referenced in the study. They're not particularly exotic. They included golden mushrooms, oyster, shiitake, and white button mushrooms. Americans mostly consume white button mushrooms, as well as dried and canned mushrooms. And the key compound, we actually did a program on this recently with someone who was a researcher at Penn State University. The compound in question is ergothionine, or ET. They say ET is a unique antioxidant and anti-inflammatory which humans are unable to synthesize on their own, but it can be obtained from dietary sources, and one of the main ones is mushrooms. And they say that there are also other compounds that may promote the synthesis of nerve growth factors. Bioactive compounds in mushrooms may protect the brain from neurodegeneration by inhibiting the production of beta amyloid, which is what gunks up the brain in Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, the first thing I did when I saw the studies, I bought a box of mushrooms. And I'm going to saute them in olive oil, put some garlic in, new recipe, put some lemon slices in as I saute them, give it a little tangier flavor, and I'm going to thereby reduce my risk of cognitive decline, hopefully, by 50%. This according to a study. And, you know, again, we say, study of studies says most studies are wrong. You know, I'll put my money behind this study. Besides, mushrooms are delicious. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Do achy, stiff joints slow you down? Would you like to put some of the cushion back in your joints and cartilage? Would you like to clinically reduce everyday joint aches and pains? Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and if you answered yes, then good news. Our friends at Purity Products want to send you a bottle of their legendary Ultimate HA Joint Formula for just $9. Ultimate HA features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping you to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin, and people say they look better too. Just a few capsules a day, and you deliver powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissue. So call 1-800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9, and you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, yet another study. They tell you that napping is bad for you. It destroys the quality of your sleep, and it's just a bad, just don't allow yourself to nap. Well, it turns out that a nap a day keeps high blood pressure at bay. Almost. Do a deep dive on that study in just a moment, but first let's talk to Rita from Iowa. Hi, Rita.
Hi. Here in Iowa, there are bugs going around, and evidently I've got one because Wednesday morning
intestinal bugs?
Yes. Yes. And Wednesday morning I had diarrhea. Stopped. I haven't had it since Wednesday morning, but my stomach still is not feeling good, and whenever I eat, nothing sets very well, and I get real bloated.
Yep.
And just wondering, I've been taking some probiotics. Is there anything else that I can do, and can I take too many probiotics?
Yeah, there actually is, some question is precisely what you're talking about. Some studies have been done looking at kids with gastroenteritis. You know, kids get various types of GI problems. So they did a study looking at whether probiotics help. And the study came out kind of inconclusive. It was like, well, they don't really help very much. In some cases, you know, different strokes for different folks. They can actually set you back in some cases because the problem is there's bacteria proliferating in your gut and you add more bacteria. And either the bacteria can fight the bad bacteria or just add, you know, join the party and cause more problems. So, it's almost like trial and error, taking probiotics while you have a gastrointestinal issue. I mean, it makes sense because obviously bad bacteria are taken over and you want good bacteria to gain the upper hand in your intestinal tract. But, what are some of the causes of this? Well, food poisoning is super common in the United States. It's estimated there are about 100 million cases of, quote, food poisoning. And the vast majority of them go unreported because people just go, I'm sick, I've got a virus, but actually there's something with the food, something bad bacteria got into it. It's not necessarily salmonella or shigella, some heavy-duty pathogen that can be identified in a stool test. It's just some, Montezuma's Revenge. It's harder to identify that. It's made mostly bad E. coli. And you get it from, undercooked eggs and fish and poultry, campylobacters in poultry, and meat. You don't want to have a lot of steak tartare because of the possibility of having growth. You can even get it from cheese, various bacteria in cheese. So lots of cases of food poisoning, usually self-limited. Sometimes it's a virus. It's a communicable thing, from one person to another. It kind of spreads like wildfire. That happens on cruise ships. There's also, just various types of gut disorders that, come and go. So, what do you do? Well, what are you doing, Rita? Are you eating lightly? Are you having broth? Are you on a BRAT diet? Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, well, the BRAT diet, this is actually from pediatrics, something we learned way back when I was training in pediatrics, is kid has diarrhea, so you take them off of dairy. Yeah, that's important. And you give them bananas, rice, white rice, applesauce, and tea, and the preferable type of tea, although all teas work, is chamomile. Chamomile actually has an anti-diarrhea effect. And the reason for rice is that rice actually contains compounds that even can help in cases of cholera. They actually use rice water in countries where cholera is still prevalent, and it still saves people's lives because it hydrates you, and there are certain properties of rice that have an anti-diarrhea effect. So bananas, rice, applesauce, and tea, that's a good strategy for tidying yourself over during a time where you have the gastrointestinal uglies, which is what you currently are experiencing. I mean, other things you can try, you can try some colostrum. Colostrum is often healing for gastrointestinal problems. You can also take lactoferrin, which can be helpful for gut problems. I mean, just to soothe your stomach, ginger is very helpful. So these are some of the strategies you can use, but it's usually a self-limited thing. And above all, don't take, you know, something that stops the diarrhea, some kind of medication that kind of keeps you jammed up, because you want the system to eliminate some of these toxins. It's part of the natural process of getting rid of these bugs. All right, hope you feel better, Rita. Thanks for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. Call us next hour. We've got plenty of time to answer your questions, attend to your medical needs. This is Intelligent Medicine.